Hey, we were looking yesterday at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and basically what it's telling us, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, is basically just a reminder to us that even while we were yet sinners, still, he reached out to us. Still, Christ gave himself for our benefit, even while we were yet sinners. I just want to read the first six verses. We kind of looked at those yesterday. I want to read them to you from the Amplified Bible. It says that you, he made alive when you were yet dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Now, in verse number 2, it's continuing with that talk about when you're still in those trespasses and sins. In which at one time you walked habitually. In other words, you know what? There was a time that you and I were walking habitually before Christ. We were walking habitually in those sins. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. So that's what we were doing outside of Christ. Verse number 3 goes on. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh. Our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature. Obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. Our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in the fellowship and the union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it's by grace, his favor, his mercy, which you did not deserve, that you were saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Verse number 6 says, and he raised us up together with him and made us to sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. Who? That's Jesus Christ. We've got joint seating with Jesus Christ in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Wow. Okay, let's just break that down again. God's telling us through Paul and through Paul's letter to the Ephesians that even when we were still sinners, even when we did not deserve it, his great love still quickened us, still reached out to bring salvation to us. You know, here's the main thing. But so many times we do this. I hear people talk about this all the time. Easily, we all fall into this kind of mindset of thinking that somehow we have to be worthy of the things that God has promised us. And here's the other thing. I think a lot of times, now we may say something different. With our voices and with our minds, we may say something different than this. But with our hearts, what we're really saying, what we really believe, is that God cannot do his miraculous works through me because I don't deserve it. That I have to meet a certain set of criteria. That I've got to reach a certain threshold. That I've got to be able to produce in my life to a certain level before I can expect to see God's promises come to my life. Now, in the natural, you may say, I know that's not true. But just because you know that that's not true in the natural, just because your mind, you know that's not true, doesn't mean in your heart that is what you really believe. And I think too many times we live our lives really believing that if I do not live up to a certain standard, I cannot expect to receive the things that God has for me. And this is God telling us, speaking to you directly and saying, hey, look, even when you were a sinner, you didn't deserve anything at all. Well, that's not true. What you did deserve was death. The wages of sin is death. The price to pay for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, according to Romans. What we deserved was death. But here God is saying, listen, when you deserve death, when you deserve nothing of benefit or of good, I still reached out to you through Jesus Christ and quickened you, made you alive, brought you spiritual life when you were spiritually dead. And that's what you deserved. And yet, I quicken you. Not based upon your performance. Oh, quite the contrary. Your performance was you were walking habitually in those sins. You were giving yourself and your thoughts and your attitudes. You were giving yourself over to the powers of this world. Over to, as it says in the Amplified Bible, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. He goes on to say, among those, we as well as you once lived in the same way. We conducted ourselves with the passions of the flesh. You know, we weren't moved and motivated by the things of the Spirit, by the things that God's called us to. We were not motivated by obedience to the things that God has laid before us. We were motivated by the things that made us feel good, the things that we desired, the things that we wanted with the flesh. And yet, God, so rich is He in mercy. What's mercy? Grace is God giving us those things that we don't deserve. Mercy is His withholding from us those things we do deserve. Paul says, but God is so rich in His mercy, in His withholding those things that you and I truly deserve. Because of why? Why did God, when we deserved it, why did He not pour out His wrath upon us when surely and certainly we deserved it? Because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us. Do you hear what this is saying? God loves you today with a great and a wonderful and an intense love. Oh, you may not deserve it today. Doesn't change the fact. He still loves you that much. If you're sitting there saying, you know what, I just don't think, I really can't ask God, and I can't believe God for the promises, because I know that I don't deserve it, and I really don't believe, until I reach a certain standard, I really cannot expect to receive these things from God. Our mind tells us that we're undeserving, and our mind is probably right. We don't deserve. Our mind tells us we don't deserve the good things of God, and so we're reticent to believe for those things. In fact, even when we pray and we say we believe, we still have that part of us, we still have that little section of us or that mentality, that inward mentality that says, even as you say the words and even as you pray the prayers and even as you stand on the words, still there's that part of you that thinks and knows, I really don't deserve this. I really cannot believe. I know that I don't deserve this. I really can't ask God for this. And you really don't believe it. You know, this is the thing about faith. Faith means you have to believe. Faith is believing even what you do not see. Faith is believing when it really doesn't even make any sense to believe. But faith is all centered on believing. You have to believe. Faith cannot operate in unbelief. And so at some level, if you are still struggling, if you're still struggling with the fact that I cannot, I have not been able to, I never have, and I cannot foresee that I can ever measure up to the standards that I believe are required of me, then you'll never believe. You will never believe. You might say words of faith with hope, but you're not saying words of faith that are filled with belief. And you're going to continue to be frustrated. You will never live up to the standards of earning the things that God has for you. But remember this verse. Listen, if you forget everything else today, remember this. And let this resonate in your mind throughout today. Let it be repeated over and over in your mind today. Verse number 4. But God, He just got done saying all the things that were wrong. And you know what? All those things that we did, you know, sometimes in verses 2 and 3, all those things that it said, sometimes giving ourselves to disobedience, being careless, being rebellious, unbelieving against the purposes of God, you know, we still do those things today. Even when Paul said, hey, you know what? We once lived the same way. We conducted ourselves with a passion for our flesh. You know what? We still do that. Listen, there's many times in our lives that we all still give in to those passions of the flesh. our desire for the things that we just want. And our behavior was governed by corrupt and sensual nature. We still do that today. And look, we've all fallen in those areas and give in to those. When it says sensual, it doesn't just mean in a sexual manner. It just means it's the things of the senses. It's believing and wanting to fulfill the desires of the flesh, whether it's for riches, whether it's for selfish things, whatever the case might be. We still do that. He goes on to say, obeying the impulses of the flesh. We still do that. We still, all of us, have those moments when we do that. Obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. How many times do we allow our minds to wander off towards the wrong things and we give ourselves to that? Seriously. How many times does our mind wander to the things of the world? How many times does our minds wander towards selfish things, towards greedy things, towards angst and anger and wanting to have retribution against those who have wronged us or hurt us or revenge? Or how many times does our mind goes to sensual things or sexual things or things that lead us away? How many times does our mind go to the wrong things? Okay, this is under the list of things that Paul had said. This is what you were doing before you were saved when he loved you in spite of all that and brought you out of all those things. And yet, how many times do we yield to and obey the impulses of the flesh and of the thoughts of our mind, the corrupt thoughts of our mind? How many times? How many times on a daily basis do we do that? Our cravings dictated by our senses, and it says by our dark imaginings. Let's be honest. How many times do we fall into that category? When we were, by nature, children. Just like the rest of mankind. Not being separated, not being different. Even though we are in Christ. But not acting like it. And you know what? When we do those things, when we're careless in those areas, the conviction of our hearts lets us know that we're doing the wrong thing. The mistake that we make is we think because we have failed, we've not measured up, we've not met to the standard of expectation that we have or that God has for us, we believe we are not worthy of receiving the things that God has given us. And that is not true. Let me go back to what I started to say a few moments ago. If you forget everything else today, remember this and let this resound and be repeated in your mind today. If you're aware of your own shortcomings and your own failings, let this be what you remember today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. I'm going to read it first of all from the King James, then from the Amplified. But God, who is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us. Listen to it in the Amplified Bible. But God, so rich in his mercy. Yeah, he knows that you and I have failed. And yet his mercy still abounds. He's rich in his mercy. Because of and in order to satisfy. Why does he have that mercy? It's because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. This is what motivated Jesus. This is what motivated Jesus to do the things that he did. And it's the same love. It's that same love is true today. Listen, if you've fallen back into some of those things that are talked about in verses 2 and 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, remember this. But God is rich in his mercy. And it's because of the great love, the wonderful love, the intense love with which he loves you today. It's because of that love. And in order to satisfy that love, God is not satisfied. His love is not satisfied until the greatness, the wonderfulness, the intensity of that love is fulfilled in you and fulfilled through his mercy in you. It's that love that even when you were dead and even when I was dead in my sins and shortcomings and trespasses, he still quickened us together in Christ. By his grace, we were saved. And that grace and that mercy is still today. You know, we tend to have this mindset that says, you know, when you're unsaved, You can ask forgiveness, and once you ask forgiveness, you know, your sins are forgiven and all is well. But we seem to get the mindset that once we're saved, boy, if we ever make a mistake again, God's going to hold that against us and God's not going to do the things. Listen, we're the ones, we are the ones who allow our minds to doubt the richness of the mercy of God. The great, the wonderful, the intense love with which he loves you today. All the promises that he has for you, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your victories, for your emotions, for everything that you have need of today. The richness of his mercy to fulfill the love, to satisfy the love that he has for you. He wants you in that mercy to receive all of those things. Will you receive them today? Will you? Are you worthy of them? No, but in Christ we are. Will you receive them today? Will you believe them today in spite of the failures even so far today? Will you? Jesus, your Lord and Savior, who made the sacrifice, wants you to experience the fullness of his love. He wants you to experience that in all that fullness, meaning receiving all of those things, every great blessing, favor, and advantage that he has for you, every victory, he wants you to enjoy it.